Chapter 4. Wurdmeister Nefdada hacked a deep, rasping, unhealthy cough. He cleared his throat noisily and spat the results into his hand. Then he tilted his hand and watched the phlegm drip to the dirt before turning his eyes to the other Wurdmeisters around his low fire. Aside from the young Borsini, who blinked incessantly, they gave no sign that he disgusted them. A man didn't survive long enough to become a Wurdmeister on magical strength alone. Glowing faintly, figures were laid out in military formations on the ground.
"This is only an estimation of the army's positions," Neff said. "Logan Gyre's forces are in red. Roughly 1,400 men, west of the Dark Hunter's Wood, in Cenarian lands. Maybe 200 Seorans pretending to be Caladorans are the blue, right at the edge of the wood. Further south, in white, are 5,000 of our beloved enemies, the Lenot. We Caladorans haven't fought the Lenot directly since you were all still at the tit. So let me remind you that though they hate all magic, we are what they were created to destroy. 5,000 of them is more than enough to complete the job the Cenarians began at the Battle of Pavil's Grove. So we must tread carefully."
In quick detail, Neff outlined what he knew of the deployment of all the forces, inventing details where it seemed appropriate, and always speaking over the Wurdmeisters' heads, as if expecting them to understand intricacies of generalship that they had never learned. Whenever a god-king died, the massacres began. First, the heirs turned on each other. Then, the survivors rallied Meisters and Wurdmeisters around them and began anew, until only one Ursul remained. If no one established dominance quickly, the bloodletting would spread to the Meisters. Neff didn't intend for that to happen. So as soon as he was certain that God King Gareth Ursul was dead, Neff had found Tensor Ursul, one of the God King's heirs, and convinced the boy to carry Kali. Tensor thought carrying the goddess would mean power. It would. For Neff. For Tensor, it meant catatonia and insanity. Then, Neff had sent a simple message to Wurdmeisters at every corner of the Caladoran Empire. "Help me bring Kali home." By answering a religious call, every Wurdmeister who didn't want to throw away his life backing some vicious Ursul child had a legitimate escape. And if Neff tamed these first Wurdmeisters, who'd arrived from their postings in nearby lands, when Wurdmeisters arrived from the rest of the Empire, they too would fall in line. If there was one thing God Kings were good at, it was inculcating submission.
"The Dark Hunter's Wood is between us."
Neff motioned to encompass the Wurdmeisters, himself, and Kali's bodyguard, a bare 50 men in all.
"And all these armies. I personally have seen over 100 men, Meisters and not, ordered into the wood. None has emerged. Ever. If this were merely a matter of Kali's security, I would not bring this to your attention."
Neff coughed again, his lungs afire. But the coughing was calculated, too. Those who wouldn't bend the knee to a young man might be content to bide their time serving a failing old one. He spat.
"The Seorans have the Sword of Power. Kurok. Right there."
Neff gestured to where his phlegm had fallen, at the very edge of the dark hunter's wood. Has the sword taken the form of Sior Celestos, the Siorin's blade of heaven? Wurdmeister Borsini asked. He was the young, blinking one with a grotesquely large nose and big ears to match. He was staring into the distance. Neff didn't like it. Had Borsini been eavesdropping when the scout reported? Borsini's veer, the measure of the goddess's favor and his magical power, filled his arms like 100 thorny black rose stems. Only Neff's veer filled more of his skin, undulating like living tattoos in Lodrakari whorls, blackening him from forehead to fingernails. But despite his intelligence and power, Borsini was only in the 11th Shura. Neff, Turas, Orad, and Ralst were all 12th Shura, the highest rank anyone aside from the God King could attain.
Kyurok takes any shape it pleases, Neff said. The point is, if Kyurok goes into the hunter's wood, it will never come out. We have a slim chance to seize a prize we've sought for ages.
But there are three armies here, Wurdmeister Taris pointed out. All outnumber us, and each would happily kill us.
Attempting to claim the sword will most likely end in death, but may I remind you, Neff said, if we don't try, we will answer for it. Therefore, I will go. I am old. I have few years remaining to me, so my death will cost the Empire less.
Of course, if he had Kyurok in hand, magnifying his magical power 100-fold, everything would change. And all of them knew it. Wurdmeister Taris was the first to object.
Who's put you in charge?
Kali has.
Young Borsini interrupted before Neff could.
Damn it!
Kali has sent me a vision, he said. That's why I asked what the Siurans call the sword. Kali told me that I am to fetch Sior Celestos. I am the youngest of us, the most dispensable, and the fastest. Wurdmeister Dada, she said she will speak to you this morning. You are to await her word by the prince's bedside.
Alone. The boy was a genius. Borsini wanted a chance at the sword, and he was buying off Neff in front of all of them. Neff would stay with Kali and the catatonic prince, and when he emerged, it would be with a word from the goddess. In truth, Neff hadn't wanted to go after the sword at all. But the only way he was certain the others would make him stay was if he'd tried to go. Borsini's eyes met Neff's. His look said, "If I get the sword, you serve me. Understood?"
"Blessed be her name," Neff said.
The others echoed. They didn't fully understand what had just happened. They would in time. Neff said,
"You should take my horse. It's faster than yours."
And he had woven a small cantrip into its mane. When the sun rose, at about the time a rider would get to the south side of the wood, the cantrip would begin pulsing with magic that would draw the dark hunter. Borsini wouldn't live to see noon.
"Thank you, but I'm an awkward hand at new horses. I'll take my own," Borsini said, his voice carefully neutral. His enormous ears wiggled, and he tugged at his enormous nose nervously. He suspected a trap, and knew he'd avoided it. But he wanted Neff to think it was luck. Neff blinked as if disappointed, and then shrugged, as if to cover, and say it didn't matter. It didn't. He'd tied that cantrip
into the mane of every horse in the camp.